Jenny has traffic.
All right. I'm a little nervous, but here's my rap. Ahem. All right, you're going to have a good, good drive today. There ain't no problems on the major roadways. Looking, looking at country club. Things will look pretty good like Robin Hood. Now I'm moving across the triad. Yo, it ain't too bad. No, 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 no. Now things look nice on 68. And I know you ain't going to be late. So that was your traffic wrap today. Man, let's get some weather from my weather girl. Austin Cavanaugh, come on, give us a weather boy, give it to us. Word.
Oh, there you go. Oh boy, Jenny, it's weather guy, by the way. That is something.
Yeah, the video that goes along with that is exceptional. She's doing that thing where she's making a sort of nondescript gang sign with her hands, as though she's trying to indicate membership in some sort of not clearly defined set.
Is that Katie Couric?
No, but she...
Oh, I thought it was one of the new promoters.
Starts in just one day. Isn't that tomorrow that she starts?
I don't know. I haven't been following the story.
If only there were some place where you could find it. If only they were advertising it in some way. If only they thought to market the fact that Katie Couric was going to be starting. All right. No, but if you watch that, I'll post the rapping traffic thing on my site one of these days. It really is fantastic. And she's, I know you can't see this, but she's doing a lot of, like, just gyrating back and forth. And she's got, like, long, blonde, really, just really limp Midwestern hair. And then they throw it over to the, okay, Jenny, it's traffic guy, or whatever he says at the end. And he looks exactly like you would sort of think he would look. Looks like one of those guys from Anchorman. That guy who was also the pilot in Snakes on a Plane looks just like that guy. All right. Katie Couric starts in one day. It's 2 minutes and, here's the irony of all those Katie Couric spots, is that I am going to end up watching it. Just because I want to be able to ridicule it the next day. So I think that's tomorrow. If only I knew what time or channel it was on. It's 2 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and this the month of August of the year of our... No, September, right? Damn.
Yeah.
It's Labor Day. Yeah. There you go. We'll just pretend that didn't happen. In the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006, thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. All right, I believe we are sans Chris today. Like all government employees, he will not be appearing today nor helping us in any way. So we'll just have to give
each other... I'm keeping track for him.
I think we'll have Scotty do it instead. I'm just saying you have a vested interest in the outcome. You have a dog in the race, as they say. That's a weird noise. Did you all just hear that?
No.
You're kind of nutty today.
I swear to God, I just heard like a weird... It was like a whale song. It was like a... You all didn't hear... I mean, it wasn't a whale, clear. But it was a whale-like sound. All right. Well, all right, then. Let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, so let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Good.
How are you on this fine Labor Day?
Doing great.
All right.
Feeling good. Feeling fine.
You know, your hair never changes.
That's right, because I got hair club for men, right?
Now, your hair
500
is
a month.
Do you ever, I mean, here, because I came in today and Sarah observed that I got a haircut this weekend because I let it go a couple weeks too long or whatever. Your hair... I can't tell when you... It's almost like you don't cut it. It really is like your head is just some sort of a Lego.
It kind of grows that way and stays.
No, it got so long.
It's like AstroTurf. Or it's like that grass they have in Britain where it grows to like an inch and a half and then it just flakes. It, you know, it's self-regulating grass. That's what your hair is like.
It was actually pretty long a couple weeks ago. It was getting so long it was sticking out sideways. I have a problem with
that. It was getting a little shaggy?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, well, here's what we're going to get to today. We have a snuff watch coming up today. A very sad snuff watch. We're all kind of bummed out about it.
I am.
And I was on the internet. I make it sound like I saw the Hindenburg blow up. I was on the internet when it happened last night. And therefore, I'm deeply and personally connected to it. But it's kind of a downer. So we have a snuff watch today. Penis watch. Religious nutcase watch. Storm watch today. And then just a whole bunch of crap happening later on. The whole show's going to implode. Oh, I would guess around 1:30 or so, because we have Storm Large we're going to talk to today. Davey Neeples will be here as well. And then, now this is, and that Storm, and the Storm thing, that's the end of what I'm guaranteeing. I'm simply noting. The last item I'm guaranteeing is just that there's going to be chaos later, because Aaron, because I don't think Aaron has a car. This is the thing. Now, I don't mean to poke fun, but Sarah and I were talking about this, and I'm pretty sure that Aaron has a job and has for some time now. But Aaron, geek in the city, I know that there's the whole thing, geek, parents' basement, no car, whatever. But really, I don't think he does have a car. I think he only has his fiance's car. So I think that Aaron and Scott Daly are sort of like a package now. I think it's like a Laurel and Hardy thing, where you can't get one of those guys without the other. Anyway, Clyde Lewis will be here later on as well. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard from CNN and Jim Roop, who's talking to folks who are on the clock, as they say. That's what we've got today. Have you got all of that, Scotty J?
I do.
All right.
Got you down for the snuff watch, penis watch, religious nutcase watch, storm watch. And then the things that you're not guaranteeing are Davey Neeples, Clyde, Lisa, Jim Roop, and Aaron.
All right, now wrap it.
Oh, right.
No. You know, for one horrifying moment, I thought you were going to do it there. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
There you go. Do you know where we are, Pusha? It's 41, isn't it? All right, thank you. There you go. There's Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and... I'm sorry. I'm catching you in a private moment.
Oh, my... Every time I get into the studio, my eyes itch and my nose is all runny.
Here's why I don't like to complain about that, because it sounds... Here's the thing, is because it starts to make us sound crazy after a while. Because... I noticed last week, because, you know, I had the head cold and my throat was all, I was doing that, and I had the Harvey Fierstein voice. And then I was sort of getting better. And my voice, as you can hear, I would say 99%. I would say my voice is back to being almost flawless. Back to being the instrument of God that it was a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
but,
God.
But here's... You sound really bad. But I was making this observation that I'm fine until I get in the studio. And as soon as I get in the studio, I start to cough, which I believe is true. I walk around, I'm in my office, I'm in the hallway, I'm or whatever. I don't cough, I don't sneeze, I don't wheeze, I don't gasp, I don't moan, I don't pant, I don't anything. And then I get in here, and I start to do the, you know, that kind of the sweet leaf sort of thing. Here's why I don't like to talk about that. It is true, but it's exactly the same complaint we were making at Entercom. You remember we were at Entercom and we used to say, well, we're all fine until we get in the studio, and then we all start to wheeze and cough. And that makes it sound like it's not so much at the studio, but it is like we've got some bizarre psychosomatic problem going on. It's like that episode of MASH. They were like, Hawkeye couldn't quit sneezing, and it turns out that he drowned a baby or something when he was a kid. There was some sort of thing with mildew. I don't know. Anyway, so Sarah's here. We'll talk about Sarah's sizzling wounds in just a moment.
Wow, I sound hot today.
you really do. Sneezing and wheezing and covered in wounds. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories for you today.
There are worldwide crocodile tears today as Australia and the crocodile world are in mourning following the death of Steve Irwin. He taught us we have nothing to fear from God's creatures. He was wrong.
That's fantastic.
These are other stories coming up.
Really? What other stories do you need when you've got that? I feel we should end the show now. There you go. It's gone on a peak. All right. Well, there you go, kids. That's it. We'll talk to Jim Roop. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. Lisa Goddard, who was back from her combat training, by the way. So that's all coming up. And then, yeah, later on in the program, you're just gonna a whole because we've only got the one guest mic at the moment. And I know that there's steps are being taken to sort of remedy that situation, but there's...
Is this going to be like one of those CNN town hall meetings where everyone just steps up here?
It really is. Like, as really as stifling and as smelly as it normally is in the studio, it's going to be like... It's going to be like five times that.
So who all's coming today?
Later on.
Davey, Scott, Aaron, Clyde. Who else?
Davey is coming in because we're going to talk to Storm later on, and I know that there's this whole thing where he likes to be in the studio because he has a job, so I don't think he's going to be able to be here. This is probably the last time we'll talk to Storm that he will be able to be here. Are you reading Rockstar Supernova spoilers?
No, I'm looking. There's an advertisement for Zaira's new album. See that?
Really?
Yeah.
They must have been... Is it out now?
I think that's her.
It's almost tempting to buy it. No, it says Zaira. I mean, it's clearly her. Your shirt, it's an album. It's not like an action figure or something.
New album.
They must have been... That doesn't make any sense, though. They must have been...
15 songs from television's breakout artist.
Okay. They must have been recording that... That doesn't make any sense, unless it was already done, unless she had it already finished. I wonder if they were recording that during the... That's all stuff we're going to talk to Storm about at some point when this the rock star thing is done, because there's so much that I don't understand. Because I know that Patrice Pike already has an album, too. She has an album that's for sale now. Zaira has an album that's for sale now. Who was it? There was somebody else. There was... It was like... God, it was that bastard that... What's his name? That Chris guy that did a horrible cover of Roxanne early on. I think he had an album done, too. So it makes you wonder if they were like, taping it during the show or something. Anyway. So... This, I believe, is the last week that we're going to get a chance to talk to Storm and also have Davey. So Davey will be in the studio later on. It's unclear whether or not he'll be able to talk to her because there's that thing. We've talked about this before. This is not a secret. How they're allowed but they're only allowed one personal call per week.
No, it changed up after the unpleasantness there. They gave them all their, now they can talk a lot.
The unpleasantness. Oh, with the breaking of crockery?
Yeah.
And the cutting of, when Delana threw her tantrum?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, you don't even know. I've got so many fantastic submissions for the Delana Sound Contest.
Oh, yes.
And the good news is that Scotty J is making one, too. And Scotty is taking it upon himself.
You should have a contest, like, you should play five of them, and someone has to pick Scotty J's.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm not going to identify which one Scotty J's is. But Scotty J is also creating a piece of sound for the Delana Sound Contest. He's working on that. He told me it was, too. It's going to be genius. So I got, like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 already. The deadline is Wednesday at 11 a.m. That is the deadline for creating a Delana sound. So we'll have, anyway, the point is we will have a storm watch today. Davey will be in today. And then the Aaron Duran and Scott Daly now come as one sort of, they're like a couple now because they do the film Fever. Your facial expression really says it all.
I love them both, but together in the small room with you as well, it just gets to be a little much.
They do tend to kind of hyper each other into a frenzy. There really is no denying that. And then Clyde, we've sort of established a tradition with Clyde that he just kind of comes in on a holiday, and I can't really reverse that.
We have lots of sessions for you, Clyde.
Seriously, so Clyde is coming in. What? Oh, the beer. So Clyde is coming in today as well. And then I believe at some point, I believe Kristen from accounting said something about coming by. So it's all just going to be chaos. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what we're going to do this hour. We will go to the city desk. We'll catch a few headlines with Tim Riley. We'll do that a little early. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have Lisa Goddard from CNN. And later, we have a new campaign ad from Vernon Robinson, by the way. He of the One Big Fiesta for Illegal Immigrants and Homosexuals. Somebody sent me his latest campaign ad, and we'll try it. We'll probably be able to squeeze that top five in today as well. This is Sid. Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
What's up, brother?
Have you seen the internet Rockstar Supernova, the new one?
Oh, you mean the new webisode?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Well, I won't give you any spoilers, but Delana, you'll love it. Delana, just first of all, she gets raked over the coals for her. They had all write lyrics for a song.
For a Rockstar Supernova? For a
new song, right. So they ought to write lyrics. Well, she just, Gilby just tore into her ability to write lyrics.
See, here's the thing about that. It's moments like that. I can't possibly be happy with the outcome. No matter what happens, I'm dissatisfied with it. Because it's just that it becomes so clear what's going on, because we've been saying for the longest time that Gilby's sack is in Delana's purse.
Well, not anymore.
Well, but doesn't it seem that somebody pointed that out to him? Doesn't it seem like somebody pulled Gilby aside and was like, look, it's so clear that you don't have your balls.
Well, I think they're realizing how weird she is, too.
Put them in a jar.
And then the other part of the episode, they are going to be performing an original song and a cover this week.
Right. Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other thing, is that this... I've heard that online, that this week each contestant gets two songs to perform.
Right, and she picked, can I tell you what she picked? I won't tell you.
All right, no.
You picked a song.
You gotta wait.
And she didn't, she's never heard the whole song entirely through. It's a Who song.
Right.
She never heard it all the way through, so she goes in there with her arrangement with the band.
Right.
And the band is just giving her the stink eye, like, what are you thinking? How can you pick a song you've never heard?
Fantastic.
Just really tore her up. She really gets it big on the webisode.
See, I feel good about things. I feel good about things this week. And when I say I feel good about things, I mean I feel good about Storm's chances for surviving another week, which means I won't be eating $600 to go down and clap for a nude Australian. Yeah, seriously. All right, thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go.
I just read what Storm thinks. It's going to be awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just tell you one thing about this show that's different.
What?
It's everybody. It looks like everybody is doing an original song.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Everybody does two songs. It's that everybody does a cover and they do an original. Mm-hmm. Which is because there's only a couple of you. Because I don't think of the people who are there right now, which is Toby, Delana, Storm, and Lucas, and Magni. I don't think we've seen an original from any of them, have we? Because the only people who've done originals, have gotten kicked off immediately. Patrice did an original, gone. Zaira did an original, gone. Is that it? There's got to be more people who've done originals than that.
I know Ryan did an original.
Ryan did an original, gone. So there you go. But this week, everybody does an original and a cover. So we'll find out more about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let us know. Well, just play it and see if you
can.
I was talking to Scotty J.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh, we have to mention Sarah's wound, by the way.
Okay, don't gross him out.
No.
I feel bad.
I do want to hear about it.
We'll get to it in mere moments. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Tim Riley at the City Desk.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We begin the day with a very sad snuff watch. No comment for the White House after Steve Irwin, the usually popular Australian television personality and conservationist known as the Crocodile Hunter, was killed by a stingray while filming off the coast of Australia. He was 44. Irwin was at Bat Reef. That's a remote coast in northeast Queensland State in Australia, shooting a segment for a series called Ocean's Deadliest.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have laughed just then.
But he swam too close to one of the animals, which had a poisonous barb in its tail. He got scared and sting him in the heart.
That's right through your, whatever, your sternum, your breastplate thing, too. Mm-hmm. Have you seen, I mean, I don't want to dwell on the morbid details, but have you seen the stingray, the tail, the thing they kill you with?
Yes.
It's bad, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big is a stingray? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Well, I think it varies. I've seen one, but it was like,
there are small ones.
Yeah, small ones. I saw one like 3 feet across.
This is probably not a small one in a jar.
Then there were big ones that are as big as bats.
He was really filming a show called Ocean's Deadliest Creatures.
That's correct, yes. It wasn't supposed to be that way.
Truth in advertising. You know that it's just a matter, this will be on YouTube within like a day. This should be out there right now.
I don't think so. I looked this morning, it wasn't. I have natural curiosity.
No, you're a journalist. You have to look for these things. Are we thinking about the right thing here? Is a stingray, it's a thing that looks like...
Back when I was a kid, it was a bicycle.
Is a stingray the thing that looks like a Roomba, sort of?
Roomba's a dance.
No, a Roomba's that thing, it's the vacuum thing. A Roomba's the vacuum cleaner that they have in Arrested Development.
I believe that's an Electrolux.
Does it look like a Kirby upright? No. The stingray is...
This is a serious thing.
I know. I'm not trying to be flip about it. I just don't know what the hell we're talking about. Is a stingray... Look,
a stingray is one of the big square things.
That's a mailbox.
Tail.
But the tail.
There are many things in the ocean that I get stingray and man of war and whatever.
This is what it looks like.
I want you to know.
It looks like a kite with a tail.
Sarah is holding up a post-it note with a pen underneath it. That is the artist's rendering, by the way.
That is exactly what a stingray looks like.
So it's like a round velvety carpet with a long tail.
It's got eyes so it can see you.
It's got little slits for eyes.
It's a post-it note with a tail that'll kill you.
By the way, Dan, this is all conjecture. This should not be taken to be scientific assessment of the situation.
This is not C-SPAN.
All right, but I think we're all We're incapable of describing it or really talking about it in any way that explicates it, but I think we're all talking about the same thing. And as it swims along, it ruffles. You know, it's sort of, it, there's a, like it's, the edges of it sort of wave down the side, you know what I mean? As it goes, but sort of, it's sort of like a, it's sort of like a round piece of velvety fabric, right? That's what we're talking about. And then just, but I don't know how big they are, though. But this, they were showing last night on the news, like, just a picture of, like, the tail from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all kinds of bad news, because you think a tail of this thing, you think it's, like, soft and gelatinous or whatever, but I guess it's like a, it's like cartilage or bone or whatever. And it's got these horrible... not to be gross, but it's horrible serrations on the side. That it's like being stabbed. It's like being stabbed with like a really really jagged bread knife or something. I mean, that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah.
Which it must be. I mean, it must be something. It must be big for it to have gone right into his heart like that.
Mm-hmm.
So. You will know, by the way, and this is editorial commentary, Dan, that this is not a Darwin watch. We're not making it a Darwin watch, but a snuff watch. Because, A, it can't be a Darwin watch because he's already reproduced. Mm-hmm. And because he has two kids, I think.
Two.
And B, because it's... I mean, it's not like he was doing something exceptionally stupid as such. You got to figure the guy sort of knew what he was doing. You know, and what are you going to do? You know, so it's not like he was some redneck juggling bricks and guns in the air while drunk. Yeah.
Australian Prime Minister John Howard is visibly upset as he paid tribute to the crocodile hunter.
He was a one-off character, and he wasn't just a character for Australians. He was a character for lots of people around the world.
Well, they've got to be upset in Australia because he was the only thing they had distracting people from Crocodile Dr. Dundee.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's totally what it is. I mean, here's the thing about America. The great thing about being America is that our country's biggest export. You know, some countries export textiles. Some countries, the Japanese export electronics. Other countries export bombs and people who kill us. We export culture. That's what it is. That is why there is no, I mean, there's big stars in America. There's no doubt about that. But there is no one singular, all-defining star who represents this country to the rest of the world. There's a whole panoply. There's a litany of stars. The other countries aren't so lucky. When you talk about Australia, there's really only ever been three guys to represent Australia, if you don't count AC/DC. There was that Jacko guy from the Energizer commercials. There was Crocodile Dundee, and then there was Steve Irwin, and that's it. There's nobody else. So now it just goes back to being Paul Hogan, which is nothing but bad news.
Then there's an Oregon connection to this, as there are in all good stories. His wife, Terry Irwin, was born and raised in Eugene. Her family was in the trucking business. As a small child, Terry was exposed to her father constantly bringing home injured animals from the highway. While working in the family business in 1986, she started a rehabilitation facility called Cougar Country to re-educate and release predatory animals such as foxes, possums, raccoons, bears, bobcats, cougars, all back into the wild. Gentle 300 animals a year. So then she ventures to Australia in 1991 and meets Steve Irwin, who courts her for 3 months, and then they get married.
Well, that guy's got to have a leg up, too, because you meet another guy, and he's like a fuller brush man, and this, you know, I wrestle crocodiles for a living. So
I get to wear the same pair of shorts every day, and nobody notices it.
Seriously.
Well, not anymore.
There was somebody who kind of looked like Todd Gorger, too. Like, if you took Todd Gorger's a former co-worker of ours, like, if you gave... And, you know, and dying young, just like Todd Gorger inevitably will. If you took Todd Gorger and gave him, like, a big mop of blonde hair, he would be Steve Irwin. That's exactly who he would be. So, I mean, it's everybody and their brother, every idiot DJ is going to be making a bunch of, you know, crikey jokes. But it's, you know, the guy went out doing what he loved and had an action pack. We should all be so lucky to be internationally famous crocodile wranglers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, not much else you can say about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Todd the Corpse notes that I'm forgetting Yahoo Serious. Yahoo Serious is one of those guys. It's not even just an age thing. It's not because Sarah undoubtedly doesn't know who Yahoo Serious is. I would be willing to bet that Scotty J probably doesn't know who Yahoo Serious either. Do you know who Yahoo Serious is?
No, is that like one of those chat forums on Yahoo?
Yes, Yahoo Serious. Yes, it's a message board. Yahoo Serious was this. He was this guy who was famous for like a day and a half. He was a supposed comedian. He was. Picture, fathom, if you will, sort of the Australian Pauly Shore. but not quite as famous, not quite as talented.
Without that something that's necessary.
Without the career longevity. I don't even... Yahoo's the reason...
What would be the reason be for that and the need for that?
I don't know. Now, he's one of those guys that we could do a whole hour. I don't think we will, but we could do an entire hour on the inexplicably famous. And I don't mean inexplicably famous like a Cato Kaelin. Because Cato Kaelin... Like, he didn't deserve to be famous, but at least you understand how it happened. You know what I mean? Cato Kaelin didn't really have any demonstrable skills, but he wasn't really expected to. You can look back at the story of Cato Kaelin from the OJ trial, and you can understand the mechanism by which he became famous, even if you recognize that he didn't really deserve it. Yahoo Serious was this guy. He was a so-called comic actor from Australia. His defining characteristic was that he was like 22, he was like a surfer dude kind of guy. And
not like Yakov Smirnoff, somebody separate.
But that's what he was. He was not so much the Pauly Shore as he was the Yakov Smirnoff of Australia. And he was like a Jeff Spicoli type. He was sort of a laid-back, like, hang loose and be righteous dudes. But one of those guys, but with an Australian accent... And with hair that stood straight up. So he just sort of had hair that he had like Don King's hair. And he was in a movie called Young Einstein, in which I believe he played Einstein, Albert Einstein, as like a party animal 17-year-old or so. And it was one of those where you blinked and you looked back and he was gone. One of those guys for whom Wikipedia exists, because without him you'd start to question whether or not he ever really even existed. In any event, let's break here. We'll come back, a little more news. We're going to talk about Sarah's foot making a sizzling sound. Lisa Goddard will join us from CNN. Coming up later on, Jim Roop will be here as well. Aaron Duran, Clyde Lewis, and our Storm Watch. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's Labor Day. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's Monday. It's Labor Day. We're here because Rick Emerson cares. If you are... the hell am I... there it is. Yes? All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you're working for the man or other parties today, we want to hear from you as well. 503-733-2970. Now I'm getting Yahoo Serious hate mail. Not from Yahoo Serious, probably dead for all I know. Please don't call to tell me. I don't really care that much. You can also email if you like, though, about whatever, your comments, your clarifications, or what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. In just a moment, we'll welcome Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. We'll talk about Sarah in a moment as well. We got a whole thing with Sarah and then her... And then she's got a wound that we're... We'll talk about there's a whole thing with Sarah's foot, and we'll get to that as well. It is Labor Day. We got a storm watch coming up. Clyde Lewis will be here. Jim Roop and the top five. Let's see. This is Richard. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You forgot the largest prince of darkness in the world coming from down under, and that would be Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking him as British for some reason because he owns the Sun, doesn't he? Or the Times?
Well, he owns a lot of media, Fox being chief among them, and he's the chief propagandist for the freaks that run this government right now. That's an evil export from down under.
That's a fair point, but you know what? Here's the thing about Rupert Murdoch, and I made this observation last week, and I will just quickly I will say the same thing I said last Friday about that guy, which is it's easy to view him as being evil because he owns Fox, and to view him therefore as being the Antichrist. But it is tempered by the fact that I don't really think he's evil so much as I think that he's just money hungry, which in a way is sort of more honest and which I can admire a little bit more, that he's not really an ideologue about it. And the way you know that is because not only does he give us Fox News, but he also gave us Married with Children and The Simpsons, and he gives us the Page Three Girl every day over there in Britain. I mean, he runs a newspaper whose defining characteristic is to have a large-bosomed, nude young woman on the third page. So you got to, I mean, it is sort of a wash to me, ideologically speaking.
No, you just made my case for me. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Well, it's what I do, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
All right. There you go. That's Richard. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, back from an exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinents, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hello. How are you?
How's life? How are things?
Things are actually A-okay. I've got some bumps and bruises from combat camp, but other than that, can't complain. I'm a little more concerned about Congress coming back into town tomorrow. It's going to add a half hour to everyone's trip to work.
Is combat? Yeah, that's right. Because you now, I know this sounds pedantic to some people, but it sounds like really bad small town radio. But is traffic really terrible there? Is it? The only time I've ever been to D.C., I just kind of did everything on foot. So
that's real. It's wise. You know, actually, I take the metro most days, except when I go and visit my mom who lives out in Virginia. But and when I do, traffic is really terrible. But this last month with Congress being out of town, it's been great. It's amazing that just those guys and their staff leaving, it really does add a half hour to your time to work when they come back.
Now, you will note that because we are several hundred rungs above that of a typical radio program, I will eschew the obvious joke about Congress being out of town and the gridlock stops, blah, 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 blah.
It was the setup and then the slam.
No, but see, again, that is the low-hanging fruit, so I'm going to pass over that comedic, that comment. So you've been at combat. Do they really call it combat camp?
I think they call it hostile situation training.
All right. And this is where you are. Really, the extent of my knowledge of this kind of thing comes from watching 24 episodes. And
okay.
So is this really where, like, they throw you in a room and a loud thing goes bang, and then a guy with a mask says, like, "On the ground, pig American," and then you scream, or what
yeah,
happens?
Yeah, they do. They do a lot of they've got the kind of fake guns, but they look just like real guns. They've got some explosions going off around you. To some, not a huge amount, but quite a few, and I think, and a lot of it seemed very real, except that many of the masked men had Southern accents, and it just didn't, somehow it didn't, when they were saying, praise to God, or, face down, and they kind of were saying it very nicely.
And so it's a whole lot of like, there is no one God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, and it's just a whole lot of, like, through the Atlanta accent. It probably does not convey the realism of the situation.
Yeah, because it was out in the woods of Georgia, so it was like, face the hill, don't look back, and where am I,
So
and these are Colombian rebels, you're supposed to be, dealing with the FARC somewhere.
So that's really like, that's just like basically if you're kidnapped by some sort of a Mississippi bowling league.
It's a little bit like that, and actually it turned out a number of our kidnappers were in some kind of punk band at the college around there, so.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What am I trying to say here? It's like, I remember when I worked at, I worked at a couple stores where, like retail stores when I was younger, when I was out of work or whatever, where the rule of thumb was, like I worked at a 7-Eleven one time, and what they told me was, they're like, if some guy comes in and gives you guff, they're like, either give him the money, give him whatever, if some guy comes in with a gun and wants a case of Heineken, just give it to him, don't resist, hand it over, don't cause any trouble. My job basically was just to cooperate with the criminals and whatever they wanted, and make sure that they left with as much stuff as possible. Is that kind of the thing they tell you, too, that if you get kidnapped, if you're over there for CNN and some guy with a pitchfork and a handgun demands something, that is your job basically just to lay there and not cause any problems?
Yeah, by and large, they say you want to try not to be noticed as much as possible. You don't want to stand out. But their biggest thing is it depends on the situation. If you're in a situation where two or three of your colleagues have just been shot, you've got to decide, did they get shot because of something they did or not? And then you've got to figure out do you need to run now? Is that the only way you're going to save your life? But if you think they got hurt because they were trying to run, it's all situational. And so they throw you in a lot of different potential situations. For instance, in Colombia, most kidnappings are for money. And so in that situation, you really just want to stay quiet and wait it out, give them whatever money you have. And they teach you carry a certain amount of money in a throwaway wallet so you can give that away.
And so,
a couple $100. Here you go.
So there's, I think this happened with the Fox guys that got kidnapped a couple weeks ago where there was some, It was like to be loose. One of the things they had to do was they had to claim that they were converting to Islam and so forth. And you always, like, during the Vietnam era, there was so much where people had to, prisoners of war had to cop to something that they hadn't really done. They had to admit that they were responsible for the eruption of Vesuvius or whatever. Does CNN have rules about that? About, like, if you are kidnapped by a hostile force in Iraq and they want you to go on camera at Patty Hearst style and denounce the evil Yankee Americans, I mean, is that a... What's CNN's policy on that?
You know, they really... That's why they have you go through this camp, is that this is where their policy starts, and their main thing is they want you to survive. So they tell you, you do what you have to do to survive. We're not going to hold you to any rules, but obviously all of your journalistic ethics, you know, are still going with you. So all of the general ways that you would want to tell the truth are there as a factor, but they say above all you've got to survive. So it they say basically it's up to each person. If you're going to stay what they want you to stay, if you decide that that's what you feel you need to do, or if you decide that you can't do that because of your religion or your beliefs, then you have to accept the consequences either way of what you do. And they realize that they really have journalists who have been killed in these situations, and they're not going to tell you do this or that because they know how difficult it is.
The key, by the way, is to say whatever your captors want, but to blink in Morse code.
That's right. Although, so sad, only two or three people would actually understand you now.
This is true. And first of all, you guys are, this is at Labor Day, so there's really nothing happening in D.C., but I know that Bush, he's not there, he's in Maryland or something, isn't he?
He's in Maryland, he's in Piney Point, Maryland. There's a maritime training center, and of course he's talking about jobs, it's Labor Day, it all ties in, it's all a little bit corny, but also... he's hoping to really get some, I guess, street cred. I'm not sure. He's hoping hoping people really say, oh, look, our unemployment rate is so low. Isn't that great? But he really did not address at all this issue with wages and the fact that real wages have gone down, depending on some statistics that you look at. They certainly haven't gone up in a best-case scenario. So he really hasn't done much to address that at all today. He's really just saying, hey, look, we've got a really low unemployment rate.
Yeah, my thoughts on that are threefold. A, Bush is never going to have street cred. I don't care. Bush could be wearing a blue bandana and doing a drive-by at a Circle K. There will be no street cred gotten by George W. Bush. B, let me canvass the room here. No, wages have not gone up. And C, it certainly, and again, I am no, I'm not an economist, which may surprise you, but it certainly doesn't feel, I hate to be a big downer here on Labor Day, but it doesn't really feel like the economy's really catching fire. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but attitudinally, it doesn't seem like it feels that way.
No, I think that's right. I think that's where most Americans are. I think that the president's doing his best to sell this message, and there are some numbers that are good, but by and large, when you look at average person's life, you look at their benefits, you look at the company they work for, things are still pretty tense. People are not really all that secure. A lot of people are still in debt, and he's not really dealing with that. It was interesting, though, in this speech, you know, he was trying to be very casual about it, and he starts talking and says, oh, you know, by the way, did you know the unemployment rate was low? You know, sort of like he's just happened to remember.
It just occurred to him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was one of those funny things. And also, this is a little off topic, but I want to say this because I'm not sure that you guys would hear this otherwise, is he started off saying, oh, I meant to come here last year. I was supposed to come here. But then we had this big storm that did a lot of damage. So I hope you guys understand that I didn't come. And, of course, he was talking about Katrina. But what's interesting is that, you know, here he is apologizing to this crowd that he missed Labor Day last year.
Sure.
When he went to Katrina, of course, you know, several days after Katrina happened, so he's bringing, it's just a very strange sort of excuse. Yeah, I went to Katrina late, but I missed you guys last year, so it's sort of...
So, yeah, because really the crisis is the people in Piney Point didn't get a visit.
Yeah, think,
really, right, in the grand scheme of things, that's really, those would be the people who got hurt the most. Yeah.
Apparently, you know, although they seem to be really okay. I think they just, what's he talking about?
Hey.
I think they didn't really know what he was saying there.
Just a final question here, and then I know we're going to go, but did Donald Rumsfeld call Iraq war critics Nazis? Am I wrong about that?
You know, I don't know that. I have heard that but I haven't seen that copy.
You know, it's impossible. It's impossible for me to dislike that guy. I don't care how crazy he becomes. If there's just some Pat Buchanan-esque trait to him. You know the great thing, and then I swear to God, this will be the last observation I make today because it's been like an hour. But the great thing about Donald Rumsfeld is that there is no middle gear with that guy. He is
right.
He is very much like Pat Buchanan or anybody else, where it's like, you know, there's no trying to appease, trying to discuss, trying to have a sort of a friendly debate of the issues where you're just talking about things in a very logical, you know, somebody opposes me, they're Nazis. He just goes right for the nuclear option.
So I've got it here. What he said was that several members of Congress were showing the same kind of thinking that delayed action against Nazi Germany. I think he actually brought up Neville Chamberlain as one, but I don't see that. That's what I remember reading. He compared them to Neville Chamberlain. I don't think he compared them to the Nazis outright. But you know, but maybe that's next. You can always hope.
That's such a great phrase. He doesn't compare them to Nazis as such. All right, Lisa Goddard, are you back for the duration? Or
I'm back. Yep.
All right. Well, you know, I have to tell you this. In your absence, we spoke to Bob Costantini, who was fantastic, by the way.
He is fantastic.
We don't have to say that because I got the feeling that Bob wasn't quite as confident in his own ability as we were. We had to reassure Bob that he was doing a good job. But it is great to have you back, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you very soon, Lisa.
Good to be. Well, you have both me and Bob. You can pick from both of us. You can have us do a debate tomorrow, whatever you want.
Oh, fantastic. All my dreams have come true. All right. Lisa Goddard, thank you, sister. All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. On the Hill. Oh, it's good to have her back.
It is.
You know, Bob was great, but hear that flow? You know what Lisa and I have? We have a little bit of a connection.
A little something.
We got a little... I'm not saying it's a something.
Well,
that's
something
you.
Magic.
No, see, you're trying to start trouble again.
No, I'm not. I said it's a magical connection.
I'm simply saying that it's... Simply saying that we have a little energy there. It's the only point I'm making.
Aaron's going to bring peroxide.
We should note what this is for. Well, let's talk about your phone for a second, and then we'll talk about your foot. And then we'll get a few more stories with Tim, and then we'll basically break and come back with still more Tim. It is Labor Day. If you are working today, for the man or anybody, we want to hear.
I cannot believe your phone number.
You know what it is? It's because I was looking at my phone. I just gave out my phone number. Let me just take that back. Did I dump that?
You dumped it. It's fine.
What the hell am I doing there? The hell is that about? Feel free to call me on my private cell phone number. You know what it is? It's because we were looking at my phone and we were just talking about your cell phone.
Yeah.
It is 503-733-2970. Even if you have nothing meaningful or important to say, don't call my cell phone. 503-733-2970. So we're here doing our thing live on this Labor Day because Rick Emerson cares. So if you are working in a salt mine, we want to hear from you. There's a couple of things. A... It was just bizarre. That's like how I've lately, like twice in the last week, I refer to the news hour as the KOTK noon news hour. We haven't been KOTK. It's been like 4 years, 3 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, two things. A, you may remember from our discussions previously in the Rick Emerson Show, Sarah woke up covered in blood the other day. Your foot, your ankle was all covered in blood. And it's because some friend of yours had jumped on top of you on
my
the sidewalk.
My friend Jay picked me up, and he tripped and fell on top of me.
Fantastic.
And smashed, and my foot got crushed underneath his.
Here's the best and worst part about your foot injury, because it's in exactly the kind of place where it's never going to heal.
It's never going to heal. It hurts so bad.
It's in a bendy place.
Yep, and all I can wear are, like, these ugly flat shoes or the shoes that he knocked me over in, which are these enormous platforms.
Well, those are kind of grandma shoes, too. I mean, they look very comfortable. But they're sort of like shoe slipper kind of things. It's like when you ever get a cut on your knuckle and you just know that it takes like a year and a half to heal because you're constantly just going and just bending it. That's what your foot is. So Sarah was sharing with us the story about how last night you were pouring peroxide on it. And I forget.
Well, we were working on the soapbox car all day yesterday and I was wearing my shoes and it hurt so bad. So my friend Lisa had some peroxide, poured it on there, and it just turned this like sizzling white.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's like when you use that. What is that stuff you put on a if you get like a wart on your finger or whatever? My sister had a wart growing up, you know, like on the underside of her pinky. And you get that stuff at the store. It's like wart be gone or wart off or wart away, and you put it on there, and it's like a. And it just kind of does this sizzling.
Oh.
Yeah. So Aaron's.
I don't think it made a sizzling sound, but it looked like it was sizzling.
Well, here's how we're going to find out. As Aaron Geek in the City will be here later on, along with Scott. In our along with our continuing quest to have the most chaotic show in the history of holidays. We're having like 80 people here later. Aaron is bringing some peroxide, and we're going to put it on your foot and hold it at the microphone and see if your foot makes a sizzling noise.
Okay.
It's all very exciting. B, do you want to talk about your phone?
No, I just want to say, whoever got a hold of my phone number and keeps text messaging me during the show, please stop.
Because it's costing you like a quarter every time
it
happens.
Yeah, and it's amusing. If you have, you know, your commentary is amusing, but call in and say it. Don't text me.
Well, you've gotten like 16 in the last
hour.
Yeah,
it was funny the first couple times, and now it's just gotten a little out of hand.
Yeah, so I live in fear, actually, that I, because, you know, you get, because in the early days of cell phones, and I've talked about this, but in the early days of cell phones, you could keep your number private because there wasn't, you didn't have a display on it, basically. There's no caller ID. And so I would actually call people, but I would never give anybody my cell phone number because that way, because again, that was, in, you know, like 10 years ago, it cost every minute you were on the phone. It cost, there was no all-you-can-eat plan. I mean, it's like you had to pay for every second you were using your cell phone. So I wouldn't give my number to anybody. But now, it's like, and even now I try to keep my cell phone number a little private, not because I'm like some control freak or I'm the Pope or famous. Or
except just, for when you broadcast it over the air.
Except for when I say it on the air. And it had nothing to do with, it's not like I'm anybody of big enough note that it's like it's going to be a hot property or whatever, but just because there's times I don't want to be found. But then it reaches a critical mass and you just realize that it's out there and just anybody who, that you really are only two degrees away from anybody.
That's when that's what happened to me when you posted my MySpace page and I didn't know you were doing that, and all of a sudden I had like 300 friend requests. Yeah. I'm like, what happened?
Have you noticed this? And just and then we'll do a couple things with Tim here in a second. So we'll go back to the city desk in like 30 seconds. Then we'll break and we'll actually begin the news hour proper. Have you noticed this, though, about MySpace? We go log in. I've been logging into MySpace the past couple of days trying to catch up on my friend requests and all that stuff. Because the problem is I just let it pile up. Like I only do my MySpace maintenance like twice a week. And so the friend requests, they just sort of stack and stack and stack. Have you noticed that all of the girls, and I'm not talking about girls that request to be your friend, I'm talking about all the girls who are in those ads for like the personals ads, like that True company, that they're all, I mean, are they just all sluts by design, or is that like the only girls they can find to model for that company? You know what I'm talking about, too. And it's like you log into MySpace.
I think the premise of that company is that they are sluts.
I'm presuming that you see the same ads I do, by the way, even though
I do. The girls in like the little tank tops looking all
and it's like hot,
pinky, like
it's totally like pink hot pants.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of, you know, be naughty and nice, you know, and then it's girls, and you just know that they reek of like bad cigarette smoke and so forth. And those are the only girls that have got a MySpace. They all look. Yeah.
Mine's a beautiful black man.
Okay. Even he doesn't look. He doesn't
look slutty.
He doesn't look like a first tier model, though. He looks like a guy that you can probably get for an hourly rate to come model for this. All right. Well, how long should we just break here?
Yeah, we might as well.
All right. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. When we return, kids, we'll kick off the AM 970 Solid State Radio Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop, Clyde Lewis, and the Storm Watch. Don't go anywhere. Here's Mr. Lowe on AM 970, Solid State Radio.